You know, if we limit our focus, they're not going to have that ability to really fully foster their authentic self. So helping children to create boundaries and to, you know, develop those self-care strategies when they're using some social media, for example.
Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to my podcast, Renew Motherhood. I am Blanca Falk. I'm the host of this podcast. And this episode is Raising Resilient, Authentic Kids, Practical Parenting Tips for Today's Social Media Era. And I'd like to welcome my incredible guest here, Alicia Embarbu. So I'd like to hand it over to you, Alicia. Please briefly introduce yourself. Who are you? Where are you from?
Thank you, Blanca. It's wonderful to be here. I am Alicia Embleton. I'm actually joining you all the way from Canberra in Australia. I'm the founder of Sapling Minds. I'm a child development coach, a keynote speaker, and an Amazon best-selling author of my book, which is titled From Seed to Sapling. So in my book, I talk about three fundamental pillars that we need to bring back to parenting in order to able to change the landscape of our children's life. So, and these three pillars being resilience, authenticity, and entrepreneurial spirit. And without these three fundamental skills, we're sort of setting our children up for a life of, you know, increased anxiety, depression, and other mental health challenges. So, you know, I think resiliency, we all kind of have a bit of an understanding of what that is, and a general sort of sense that that's around that ability to withstand and bounce back from that sort of adversity. Authenticity is about a child sort of really being able to express their true self, which includes emotional regulation, as they need to be able to feel their feelings and all of that to be able to understand who they are. And that third pillar, which sometimes people get a little bit confused about, being entrepreneurial spirit, and they think it's all around a child setting up their business and, you know, trying out that entrepreneurial life. But it's actually around the mindset of that. You know, if we think of any successful entrepreneur out there, they have mastered some of these critical skills for their mindset around creativity, innovation, that growth mindset, and really that positive perception of failure. And these are the things that that third pillar are all about. It's that sort of spirit that we need to bring back to children.
That's so great. Yes.
Yeah.
Go on, please.
I was going to say, a child development coach, I'm not sure if that's something that people may have heard of before. Provide a quick brief outline as to what that is, if that's going to help.
Yes, sure.
So it is a unique term, child development coach. You know, many people have heard of parenting coaches before, and a child development coach and a parenting coach, they do serve very distinct but complementary roles in supporting a family. So a parenting coach, they really primarily focus on guiding the parents in their parenting strategies and helping them to navigate challenges that they may be facing in raising children. Whereas a child development coach, I'm actually working with both the child and the parents. So that dual approach is what really provides that significant increase benefits there by working with both of them. You know, it then helps me to really become part of the village that we all need to be able to raise that child.
Yes, that's great. I love this. So today I'd like to take the number two of your pillars of your book and talk about authenticity, because I love this topic and I think it's important. And yes, it's a pillar of your book too. So why do you think many kids struggle to be themselves in today's world? What's your opinion about this?
It's a huge question. And I think there are so many facets to this response that we could really dive in and really sort of talk about. But I think there are two significant contributors that I wanted to sort of raise in our conversation. And this being I really sort of see these two as some of the biggest that I find that are impacting children. The first of these being fear of failure, and the second being emotional dysregulation. So talking about fear of failure first, when children become afraid of failing, they're really often they just stop trying altogether. And this is where we see so many parents start getting frustrated at the lack of motivation that they might be seeing in their children. Now, these children, they might be actually avoiding activities or challenges because it's actually exposing them potentially to making a mistake. And that's what is actually really kind of freaking them out there. And this sort of avoidance is being driven by that deep fear of getting it wrong. And that can have a negative lasting effect on their motivation, their self-esteem, and really their overall development. And this sort of low self-esteem and therefore the potential as well from all of this for low self-efficacy, this is one of the reasons why I believe many children are struggling to have the level of resilience to be able to approach sort of today's world. And because they're starting from this place of fear of failing, it's then resulting in all of these snowballing negative effects. And that means that they don't actually have the space or the bandwidth to be able to fully express themselves. And that's all just stemming from they are living from this place of basic survival instinct. And how can we expect a child to be able to show up in their authentic self if they don't have that space and that ability because they're living from basic survival? You know, if we think of basic survival instincts, it's to try and seek out the shelter, the approval, the all of the path of least resistance so that they can stay alive.
Yes.
And that's just one of the two that I very much see as being a big issue here is that fear of failure. And I think the second one that I mentioned was the emotional dysregulation. And this really sort of circles back to emotional regulation being critical for our health and well-being. And emotional regulation really helps us to understand how we're feeling, who we are, how our external environment is actually affecting us. And then with that insight, we get to start learning what stories or narratives that we might actually be creating is then fueling our definitions of who we are. And so this is sort of really where that, emotional regulation is, again, one of those big challenges that children are facing in having that deeper awareness of who they are and therefore how to express who they are in the world.
This is huge, and it's you can deepen it really. Wow. You can go deeper and deeper inside of this. And the first question that just showed up in my head was, okay, how big is the pressure on us as parents if we expect something from our children? Woo, we have to do it first, right? So we have to be emotional steady to be able to deal with our own emotions. And we have to let go of fear of failure, right? Because we are raised too in this world. And there are so many adults who don't like to do mistakes, right? Because this is wrong. This is, people are blaming you or I don't know what. So I think it's huge to say, okay, if the kids struggle, we want to solve this, but we are not in the position that shows them how the solution is, right? So, yes, how does, just to go one step further, how does social media complicate our children's understanding of really who they are?
Look, again, huge question. And I think we could probably spend the next hour just sitting on that one question. And
yes,
because there is so much to it, right?
Absolutely.
And, I mean, I'm not sure if it's starting to become, you know, topics of laws and things in other countries, but in Australia at the moment, there is a big point of discussion because they're looking at potentially bringing in some new laws around the ages at which children should start engaging with social media or be able to start engaging in social media. So it's a hot topic.
What's the age now?
Moment. So they're looking to try and bring it to 13. At the moment, there isn't the laws to catch up with all of that yet. So they're looking to try and start catching up some of the law to where we've sort of progressed. A lot of children, they will just make up the date of birth anyway. So I think we need to look at other avenues to try and address some of these challenges, but we'll put the laws aside for a moment and we'll look at the deeper sort of question here of, well, how is this actually complicating things? And, you know, what does it sort of mean for our children? Well, I think, in my opinion, there are a few different elements to this. And the first that I'll sort of mention is around perfectionism as one of the big challenges that is sort of stemming from this social media complications for our children. And, you know, this obviously links to the conversation we were just having around that fear of failure as well, and the epidemic that it is becoming in children in this sort of, you know, current generation being out there. And social media is very much further inflaming and perpetuating this sort of complexity for children, because they are constantly seeing filtered photos or posts about achievements in life. You know, noting that people are always trying to put the good things out there about what they're celebrating. And in some ways, you know, I guess as adults, we can kind of draw a level of similarity to something that we may have dealt with when we were younger. It is at a very different scale for the current generation. But as adults, we might remember when we were growing up, the challenges that we were kind of facing around the airbrush models on the front of magazines and the issues that all of that was plaguing in the generation and that false perception of reality, you know, particularly around body image. And, you know, I guess as adults, we all sort of learnt and heard all about the research that was done into that and the negative impacts that this had on us at the time where we were really impressionable children. And I guess for today, our children in today's current generation, this is even more heightened. You know, they're facing this at a whole different scale. Mm-hmm. They are unable to escape any of this. You know, it is just constantly with them. And it's really about how they are, I guess, really struggling to be able to distinguish between the perfectionism and the reality of what it should be looking like. And, you know, I guess we could go off into a whole other tangent around device addiction and all of the sorts of things as to why it's constantly facing them. But that's another tangent.
Yeah, so, you know, much to cover.
Exactly, right? So, you know, perfectionism is definitely, I think, one of those key issues.
Yeah.
I think the next one that I find really impacts these children is that emotional regulation. You know, again, it was something that I was talking to before. And in particular, from a social media perspective, it's that these kids are not seeing the breadth and the variety of emotions on these sorts of platforms. They are only typically seeing the happy times, the joyful times, the, you know, the excitement. They're seeing only the good emotions being put out on social media. And so then they're really struggling when any of these negative emotions pop up for them, because they didn't get the score they wanted on the maths test, or they didn't get, you know, the part in the school play, whatever it might be. But when they do face some sort of adversity in their little lives, these kids are then struggling to learn how to deal with those emotions, because they're not actually learning any of that. Social media is creating a form of distraction for them. Instead of actually processing, listening, and addressing what they are feeling, they pick up the phone or the iPad and they forget about it and they distract away. So emotional regulation is a real big issue here. And I think the like the final one that sort of pops to mind is around that self-worth being driven by external approval because of the impact that social media is having on them. So, you know, we're seeing them seek how many likes as to their definition of how worthy they are, how many followers that they have on the social media platform. You know, overall, it's all being driven by this external approval to be able to define their self-worth. And I mean, this is breeding people pleasing. It's, you know, many other complications that's coming from this in their adult life. But there are so many different elements to social media as a complication for children that we really need to look at all of these, you know, underlying different elements there.
Yes, absolutely. Wow. That's great. I love this. And you just explained it very well. I think to really cover those points, like, yes, getting your results from the outside or getting your focus on the outside and then only feel worthy if it's shown on the outside, but forget how you feel on your inside, right? So even if bad emotions show up, you're not able to deal with it because you haven't seen it before somewhere else. And it's a lot that young people are so much on social media and everywhere. So even in our alternative school, I would say, they are using phones and they are using everything. So I think it's another era here, really, too, that we have to challenge, that we have to, yes, to raise our children in a good way and to become aware of what's going on here. So what does being yourself mean for kids who are still figuring out who they are? Because they are now in the process of finding themselves.
Yeah,
and I think this is a huge thing to say, okay, be yourself.
Yeah.
Who am I?
Yeah, completely. And look, for kids, they don't necessarily know who they are. And, you know, like what we were just sort of talking to, are they really learning who they are, or are they distracting themselves from the opportunity that is there? And I think that's kind of the real sort of big thing here that would be an opportunity for people is to help focus your child on that self-awareness. That is how we're going to learn who we are, is by understanding how we experience different situations. What's the narrative that we're starting to define in our minds about how we're experiencing different situations? Is that true? Is that not true? You know, there's so many elements about it all, but it really all comes back to that emotional regulation and that self-awareness in being able to really identify that authenticity and being able to help kids start to answer the big question that, let's be real here, that's a lifelong question. It's something that we're going to keep changing as we go through different stages of our life. And that's an important learning for them as well.
Yes, finding out is the journey. And so we should not look for a status, right? For a standpoint to say, okay, this is you. Stay
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
And if you know yourself, now you are ready. No, that's not right. So we are still improving, growing, and that's life and that's nature, right? To grow.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess a lot of the children I work with are sort of around 7 or 8 through to about 12. I focus on middle childhood development. In the top end of that age bracket, we're starting to see the tweens come out there. And a lot of the tweens, they start to lose some of their individuality. And, you know, the question here is, well, how do they be themselves? Well, they start to lose their individuality a little bit during those years because they're trying to find their place in the world through experimenting. So, you know, we might see them start to wear the same clothes as their friends or, you know, do the same sports or hobbies as all of their friendship group. And it's great that they're wanting to experiment, but we need to make sure that they don't lose themselves through that experimentation and that they actually mm-hmm. still can navigate all of that with that deep-seated emotional regulation and self-awareness so that they understand who they are becoming as they try all of these sorts of different things. You know, it is great that they're wanting to get out there and to try new things. And it's about creating that space where they're comfortable to listen to who they are and what actually feels right. So it's trying to teach them as early as we can, what are some of those emotional or cues that they might be feeling in their bodies to be able to learn how to navigate some of these situations in identifying who they are authentically in the world.
So what are some signs that a child is struggling with their sense of self? If I look at the parents now, I have a look at the parents, how can they see this? What can be some signs for them to say, oh, something's going on here?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I'm a parent myself. I know that we're all sitting there going, what do we need to look for? How can we help our kids? And, you know, some of the signs can be quite obvious and are things that we're probably already starting to pick up on. You know, like some of the things that I mentioned, you might notice your child start dressing the same as some of the other people in their life. They might sign up for all the same extracurricular activities as their friends to be able to seek that approval. Mm-hmm. You know, even when they might have previously indicated a dislike towards doing something, you know, for example, they might prefer basketball over soccer, and you see them sign up for soccer instead of basketball at that time. Mm-hmm. So it's being able to identify what doesn't necessarily feel like what we've seen in them over the recent years, and consider how all of this interplaying with them forming and maintaining their relationships with others as well. So are we noticing them interacting differently with different people and, you know, just starting to kind of get curious about all of these things. So it's, I guess, our role as parents in some of this is being able to help the child explore some of these interactions, but with that level of self-awareness, because we can bring that curiosity in questions to help them mm-hmm. to uncover these sorts of answers for themselves. You know, if we come in and give the kids the answers, they're going to close mm-hmm. off. And that'll be the end of it.
Yes.
So we very much need to take them on a journey of learning. And so, you know, keeping those open-ended questions, keeping curious and creating that space where we can have those conversations. There are also some signs that might be, I guess, a little bit less obvious. And these are really things that as parents, we can pay close attention to. And be able to be in tune with our children to be able to sort of pick up some of these signs as well. And I'm thinking really primarily around some of the internal thought processes that children mm-hmm. will be experiencing and going through. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is kind of around their beliefs, their mindsets, you know, all of these sorts of things that they're forming about themselves. So I guess, for example, it might be that, you know, on the surface, they might appear to be quite an outgoing person. They've got lots of friends, you know, all seems to be great. However, you notice time and time again, they jump back in the car at the end of, you know, time hanging out with their friends or at the end of some sort of play date. And you notice that they don't seem energized. They don't seem happy following those interactions. It might not be that they're actually sad or down or that there's actually anything overtly wrong. It's just that they might seem or appear a little bit more quiet or potentially even withdrawn. And so again, get curious. Is this happening all the time? Is this something that was just maybe once off and there might have been other things that were that were actually impacting on that particular situation? And I think the other element to be looking out for is that emotional dysregulation. So that could be cropping up through extreme or unreasonable emotional responses to something. It might also be because they're struggling to understand how to deal with their emotions. But mm-hmm. I think that's sort of another sign as parents that we can be keeping an eye out for and then helping children and guiding them through those situations.
So that's great. These are actually, yes, action steps for the parents to really, yes, support their child's authenticity, right? So first, be connected with your child, regardless the age. Don't say, okay, it's 12, it's 13, it goes her way, his way. I don't have to take care of it anymore. So no. Even if you're not always around your child, stay focused or stay in this observing position, right? You don't have to act all the time, but you have to, yes, how you said, keep an eye on your child. Don't let it go. And the second is really the communication part, right? To really ask questions. If something shows up from your child that you are just wondering, well, what's going on here? So start with the questions.
Exactly. And be curious.
Be curious.
So curious as parents, without bringing the judgment. And that's the hard part as parents, because we've got all that extra life experience that we've learned from. But it's bringing the curiosity without the judgment so that we can just help the child work through a situation.
Yes, that's great. Because if you start with judging, they are just closing. In a special age, they don't like to be judged anymore. So, yes, but I like to look at the friendship side too. So how can we help our kids navigate friendships that challenge their authenticity? Like you just mentioned, if they are joining basketball instead of soccer or vice versa, it doesn't matter. So just because of their friends, it's a separation. If they say, okay, I have to be authentic, I go alone. Somehow. How can we help you?
And look, I think it's one of those challenging situations to be able to help the child in. You know, like you said, they're not necessarily going to want to go to basketball alone, because part of signing up for sports is also having that team environment, and they'll want to be socializing. So there is a delicate balance that we're trying to sort of bring here and to manage. I think the challenge here really starts with actually ensuring that the child has all three pillars developed. So, for example, making sure that they're also developing resiliency is going to give them that ability to, you know, weather those situations where they might be wanting to express themselves authentically, but where it might be a little bit challenging for them to do so. And when it comes to entrepreneurial spirit, it's giving them that ability to see situations where things might not necessarily go the way they want, but to be able to see that with a growth mindset and that positive perception of failure. And so I think making sure that we're kind of developing all three of those pillars is really going to be key to helping our children be able to navigate all of these sorts of challenges with their friendships. Because these pillars, they're not going to work effectively if we don't support our children to enhance all three of them. And so when it comes to the child, sort of then navigating their friendships and the challenges that they may be facing around authenticity there, you know, again, we're coming back with that, you know, emotional regulation to be able to help guide their decision making. And we're seeing the, you know, I guess that ability for children, encouraging them to take some time to reflect, because that reflection piece is bringing that self-awareness and then being able to help them guide through, you know, navigating those friendships and encouraging them to remain engaged in the activities that they feel aligned with, as well as those that they might want to follow for the social connection. And then helping them to get curious about the differences in how they experience those two. So get them to sign up to soccer and basketball, and then help them at the end of each of those sessions to just reflect and get curious as to how that went for them and see what they'd start to learn about themselves in those situations. You know, is it that they actually notice that because they have so much of a passion for basketball, it meant that they created 5 more friends through signing up for that. And they've actually now got friends who are also aligned with a key area of interest for them. It helping them along that journey without deciding on the journey for them. So it's being able to help the child work through those problem solvings and to learn about themselves on the journey. You know, it's, and like I said, remembering that resilience and entrepreneurial spirit are also going to have a significant role to play here in being able for them to successfully and gracefully navigate those friendships and the challenges that they might be facing in some of those situations. Because when they are showing up to that basketball court the first time or the second time by themselves, they need the resilience to be able to stand there still and to handle being there, along with the authenticity of knowing that this is something good for them and that entrepreneurial spirit of being open to what can I learn here? How can I grow out of this situation? So all three pillars have such a critical place in our child's development that's kind of why I focus on all three in the work that I do. The resilience and the entrepreneurial spirit really just support a child in being able to express that authenticity in their friendships and some of those challenges that they might face along that journey.
Yes, that's great. Oh, I love this, because you can't separate those three pillars, right? They are so engaged, they are so connected that each of them has got a very deep meaning inside the life of your child, right? But it's not only the child. What role does a parent's own self-awareness play in teaching authenticity?
Oh, I love this question. I think the biggest thing that as parents we both love and hate is that children learn through role modeling. So what we're doing, they are learning from. That's, like I said, we love and hate it because they pick up on things we don't want them to be picking up on as well. But they really do. Like, the biggest way a child is learning is through watching, observing, role modeling. You know, you are their biggest teacher in how they develop some of these things as the parent. So we really need to be making sure that we're role modeling these things ourselves. So making sure that we're role modeling emotional regulation, that we're role modeling resilience, we're role modeling that growth mindset, we're role modeling a positive perception when things do fail, and being able to bring all of these sorts of role modelings just too naturally into how we engage in with our child. So, you know, it could be that when we do face something in our own life, we talk it through. You know, what's the problem solving steps that we have actually taken on that journey as the parent? You know, it might be, and obviously we need to be considering what are the age-appropriate things to be talking through at different sort of stages of development as well. You know, when we're talking about the younger children, it might be that a glass was broken and, you know, a glass was dropped and broken, or something got spilt. You know, something really low-key from that perspective, but it's then sort of talking it through. You know, that glass got broken, and what I learned from that situation is that if I have wet hands, my hands are going to be a little bit slippery, and so the glass might slip out of my hands. And so maybe what I need to do is actually dry my hands before I pick up the glass. So all of us, we've already thought that through unconsciously. We know these things. But just talking out loud and just kind of walking that through with your child, they are learning those steps of problem solving as well. Mm-hmm. And so these are all helping children to learn that self-awareness over time and through that role modeling from parents. So by us remembering that emotional regulation, of being aware of how we're showing up in situations, and also being aware that they're watching,
yes, you know,
we can teach that authenticity.
Yes, that's great. I love this. I love to, challenge our audience here for this day to really look at yourself. What are you doing? How are you doing it? And become aware of your position as a role model. Do you want your children to copy you in this situation, or do you have to make a change here? So just for, yes, let's learn together here. And
exactly.
And yes, try for one day and then see how it works. Alicia, what's your biggest lesson that you have learned about fostering authenticity in children over years now?
I think it's that authenticity can be one of the hardest of the three pillars for children to develop. And I would say this is second only to a positive perception of failure for many children. You know, I would say that those two are the hardest, authenticity and positive perception of failure. And, you know, the biggest lesson that I would share with your listeners is that we need to teach all of the three pillars for the child to be able to have the breadth of the skills needed to navigate fostering authenticity. You know, if we limit our focus, they're not going to have that ability to really fully foster their authentic self. So helping children to create boundaries and to, you know, develop those self-care strategies when they're using social media, for example, that again can really help to significantly improve their fostering of authenticity as they go along that journey.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, so wonderful. So I think it's the best to get your book to really cover all the points again, the pillars of how children can be supported in their life from seed to sapling. But you have got special offers too. What do you offer for parents, for children? Where can people find you, reach out to you? Tell us a little bit.
Look, thank you. I would actually really love to offer to your listeners to book a complimentary call with me so that I can actually discuss with you what are some of the tips that you might like to consider that are tailored to your child's needs. So, you know, pop onto my website, which is saplingminds.com.au. You know, pop on there. Also on the website, there is a wealth of information and resources that are available to parents. I do put up weekly articles and videos and lots of information. And you can sign up for free to receive those directly to your inbox as well. So that way you can get all of the tips for developing children across all of the three pillars. You can find me all the socials and everything, you know, so feel free to follow there. But yeah, I guess for your question of, you know, what is it that I offer? You know, I do work with people one-on-one for a 12-week program. And I do actually have one place left for this calendar year. And I'm starting to take in bookings for next year as well. You know, I guess it's also that I also offer retreats. So this can be a 3-day retreat, and that can be in a group setting, or we can do it as a home retreat where it's then all personalized and tailored to that particular sort of child and family. You can also make those journeys go together. We can start with a 3-day home retreat and then dive straight into the 12-week coaching program to be able to just dive that much deeper into things. But there's lots of things.
It doesn't have to be in person. It's also online, right?
Exactly. Okay, it is great. All online as well. And as you say, you know, if they want to learn a little bit more about all the pillars, there's also my book, and that's available for purchase on my website too. So you can grab that copy there, either the digital book, or I've actually got, hard copies of the book as well that you can purchase online. So
great.
Lots of things there and so much on the website. I'm continually adding to it. So I can't stress enough. Check it out. There's a lot there.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for being my guest here. I think it's a wonderful topic to really talk about authenticity as parents as well as for our children. And I'm so grateful that you joined me here on my podcast, Renew Motherhood. Thank you. And yes, for all the listeners, please stay tuned.
Thank you, Blanca.